Okay, so were these entries with or without a visa? The reason we need to know this is because it helps you figure out if they've triggered any of these unlawful presence bars or EUI bars. So generally speaking, if somebody enters without inspection, you're going to have to do consular processing with them. This is very general. There are some exceptions to this rule. Consular processing means we're going to have to send this person outside of the country to their home country to be interviewed at the consulate or embassy there, where the consular officer will be the one to make the determination if they can come back in as a resident or not. If the person enters with inspection and they have an immediate relative who can petition for them, then this is going to be a one-step case. These are generally our easiest cases. They go through USCIS, and the person doesn't have to leave. If they came in with inspection and it's a preference category, it gets a lot more complicated. We have to determine at that point, is the visa immediately available to the person? Have they ever fallen out of status by working unlawfully or staying beyond their visa entry or their I-94 date? And this will determine whether or not they can adjust status or if they have to go in consular process. Have you ever been denied entry? So this is going to help us determine whether the person has triggered a bar of inadmissibility relating to their visa. So if the person entered with a visa or in the past had tried to enter with a visa and had been denied entry, we want to look for more information on whether they, like why. Why were they denied entry? Did the person at the officer at the border or at the port of entry tell them that they suspected that they were engaging in immigration fraud? Or that they'd misrepresented themselves in their interview for their visa? We want to see if they have an expedited removal from the border. These are all things we're going to need to check out before we go too far down the line on their application.
And I just want to chime in on here. This is also very important because if a client is denied an entry, there's a reason and it's going to be documented. And so they're denied the entry and they even lose their visa. If they enter without inspection and then they try to get status, they will have to consular process. And they may have already done an unlawful presence waiver here, but when they go to their appointment, if that denial of entry comes up and it turns out that they were denied entry because, you know, they thought they had been working here without authorization or living here when they shouldn't have, then at that point they would be inadmissible and they would require another waiver, and that would make the original unlawful presence waiver void, and then they would have to spend more time out there than they want to, which a lot of clients are willing to do that because that's the only way they're going to get status. But you also want to send them out there prepared for that hardship because those waivers can take a lot longer than they originally had planned on staying, and you want to make sure that your client's family is prepared for that separation.
One of the next things to keep an eye out for, are you the beneficiary? Oh, sorry. Is this it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Criminal history is very important because, again, this helps us determine bars of inadmissibility. For those individuals that are here and are going to have to consular process, there is that unlawful presence waiver available that they can do here before going to their appointment outside the U.S. That unlawful presence waiver only waives unlawful presence. If there's any other ground of inadmissibility, that waiver is not going to cure that. And when they go to their appointment and they are found inadmissible due to criminal grounds, then at that point, they will have to do another waiver. So it's very important to ask, you know, how old were you when you got arrested? Because there is different consequences if you were arrested when you were a juvenile versus an adult, and what was the arrest for. If it's drug related, it's very important to determine what kind of substance it was and the amount of that substance. That could mean the difference between their eligibility to get a green card or not. And then, of course, you will need to obtain court records because you will need those for the process.
Are you the beneficiary of a previously filed petition? The reason we ask this is because of this really kind of nifty piece of law called 245I. It's complicated, but it's so helpful for so many people. If a person had a petition that was filed and that petition was approvable when it was filed before April 30th, 2001, that person could benefit from 245I, which allows them to adjust status in the United States despite having entered without inspection or having worked unlawfully if it's a preference category. So it cures some of these inadmissibility issues and allows them to just go through USCIS, which is preferable because we're not sending them outside of the country with no way of knowing if they're going to come back in. So we need the, you'd want to ask for if they have a copy of either the petition that was filed or an approval notice where you can see the received date or the priority date being before April 30th, 2001.
I really like this 245I right now because a lot of the, it's been about 21 years since it came into place. And so right now I'm seeing a lot of my son's friends' parents come in because, you know, their sons are now 21 and they're protected. And it's just such a wonderful experience to be able to help these families that have been waiting for, you know, 21 years and that priority date is not yet current, but now they have this child that can help them. And it's just wonderful.